Our devotional background study today comes from Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 29. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one another? Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat two sons. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class?
A couple points I've got real quick. Give this to Sister Kelly. Sister Kelly,
our lesson today comes from second chapter of Exodus, verses 11 through 12, and this is Moses' flight into Midian, and it's part one, and I'm going to try and leave Terry enough for part two. So I'll read it, and he can read it again next week, but I'm going to try not to go too far into this, because if I do that, then like he's left with nothing. Unless he just wants to backtrack over what I've already covered. So, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. You heard what Terry said last week, talking about, I guess it was me the week before last, about Moses being found and raised in Pharaoh's house. And he was there in Pharaoh's house until he was about 40 years old. So he was well versed in the Egyptian lifestyle and the Egyptian belief system and what all that they did. We find in the 7th chapter of Acts, before I begin reading here, we find in the 7th chapter of Acts in the 22nd verse where in part of Stephen's sermon, he said, And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, so even though he was raised as an Egyptian, evidently it had not been withheld from him what his origins were, that he was an Israelite. And so, but the scriptures say he was well-versed and he was strong and powerful within the Egyptian belief system. And then came the time after he was about 40 years old that he began to realize, I guess, I'm just paraphrasing here, that he wanted to go back to his roots. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that like to revisit their roots and go back to their beginnings and to kind of have an idea of where they come from. And this is what I think Moses wanted to do. And beginning in the 11th verse, it says, And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them, what that said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, the Hebrew said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Well, we find that Moses, in searching for his roots, had affinity for his people. And I think he also had a feeling for his people, to the point that he says he took up arms against this Egyptian that was treating the Hebrews wrongly. And he slew him. Now, having done that, he created problems. The Hebrews looked upon him as an Egyptian, because he was probably dressed as an Egyptian, talked like an Egyptian. As the song says, walk like an Egyptian. That's another thing altogether. But he slew this man, and his own people didn't really know who he was, but he buried this Egyptian. And he thought nobody had saw him do this. And I think he thought, now I'm just placing myself in his mind here, that he was truly helping his people. But he didn't really have a connection to them yet, but he was doing what he felt was right at the time. So he slew this Egyptian and buried him, and then he came back out, and there was two Hebrews striving against one another. And he kind of got on them and asked why they were doing what they were doing, and they turned on him. And they said that, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian the other day? Well, that kind of shocked Moses, because I think he felt that he had a place. I think he really felt that he had a place amongst these people. And so he had started ingrating himself in amongst these people. And here they've turned on him. They've kind of spurned him. And because they're afraid of him. They're afraid of what Moses might do because of his Egyptian background. So they asked him was he going to kill him? And Moses said, oh, this is known. And if Pharaoh finds out, he's going to kill me. Sure enough, Pharaoh probably put out some kind of edict and said, you know, go kill Moses. And so Moses had to flee from Egypt. I mean, that was the only thing that was left to do. He had to flee. But the thing that I want to really kind of talk about, I want to leave it right there, is that Moses didn't begin this journey until he was about 40 years old. Now, during that time, I think, as I said, that he had learned that he was of Hebrew descent, and his curiosity got the better of him, and he wanted to go out and find out about his roots. And now he's kind of messed up here. He thought he might be doing the right thing, but as it turned out, he wasn't doing the right thing. And that boils down to him obeying God and what God would have him to do. Now, I believe with all my heart that God looked down upon Moses before he was even born and said, this man is going to bring my people out of bondage and take them to a better place. And I think, you know, we talked about if God is in the matter, he prepares the way, both sides of the issue. He's got everything prepared. And even to the point that he prepares a person years and years and years before that person is ever really needed. But and I think that's what he did with Moses. He bore upon his parents' heart that they should not turn him over to the Egyptians, or they should hide him to keep him from being slain, because I felt, by the Spirit, they felt that Moses was going to be something in the work of God. And so they hid him, and as things worked out, Pharaoh's daughter found him, and you know, we've studied that the other week. So God was preparing Moses for something that Moses may not have realized what it was. But I think as he grew older and older and got more maturity, that he began, I believe, to understand maybe what his mission was. And but I don't think that he knew how to do it exactly, but he knew something about it. But what he did was, he went off, as I would state, he just kind of went off the deep end, and he committed murder. Why did he commit murder? Because of lack of patience. Evidently, he wanted something to occur now. He wanted to get on with this, and so he was going to ingrate himself in with the people, and he was going to kill this Egyptian and bury him, and then they were going to go on and do whatever it is that God would have to do, because I believe he had a stirring that God wanted him to do something. But what we're going to talk about this morning is patience. And in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, Paul said, "Ye have need of patience." Now, let's look at what happened because of what Moses did. Let's look at that real quick. He was 40 years old before he wandered out there and was going to do something. Then, because of his actions, he had to flee and go into a country. And do you know how long he lived there? He had to live there 40 years. Because of his impatience. Because he was acting out something before God, I think, was ready for him to do that. So, he had to leave these people in bondage. That's the consequences of what his actions were. He had to leave these people in bondage for 40 years, for 40 more years, before he came back, before God finally slowed him down and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get my people, and I want you to talk to Pharaoh. Well, now, we find, and I just thought of this for some reason, we find in our reading lesson a while ago that he was well-versed in the Egyptian ways, and he was strong and had a lot, had power. But when God got a hold of him and tracked him down and said, I want you to go back and talk to Pharaoh and get my people, he all of a sudden decided he wasn't capable of doing it. He all of a sudden decided that he had a stutter or a stammering voice, and he couldn't do this, and he couldn't do that. Is that not just like us? I mean, Moses is no different from us. When God wants us to do something, all of a sudden we decide we can't do it. Well, that's kind of like Moses. I believe he knew that there was something that was going to have to be done. And then when God got a hold of him, he said, I can't do this. And I was reading that to him. I said, that's just exactly like God's people today. God gets a hold of us. He wants us to do something. The first thing we say is, I can't do this. But if you couldn't do that, he wouldn't put it on for you to do it in the first place. I mean, God's not dumb. He's not going to sit and put something on you that he knows that you can't do. He's not going to do that. He knew Moses could do this. And so Moses finally relented, making some concessions here and there, and finally relented and going back to get the people out of Egypt. But when with maturity, now he was 80 years old by this time, but with maturity comes patience. And that's what we need today, is patience, so that we don't mess up God's plan. And we can mess up God's plan. God's got a plan for each one of us. He's got a plan for us to do something. And if it's just left in our grasp, we can truly mess up what he has planned for us to do. And, of course, here again, this is the old accident. God already knows that. He knows this. He knows if we're going to mess it up. He's already got something. If we're going to mess it up, he's already got something else, maybe for somebody else. But you see all of these ramifications when we fail to do what God wants us to do, how God wants us to do it, when God wants us to do it. If we fail in any of those aspects, then things go horribly awry sometimes. They just go off. And we can make a bigger mess than ever. And that's what Moses did. Moses, in his impatience, had to leave and be gone for 40 years. In hiding, I might say, for 40 years. So what did these poor people do? These poor people, it waxes worse and worse and worse on the Hebrews. They're in bondage for 40 more years. But, you know, it carries over. You don't know what the story would be if Moses had done exactly what God had wanted him to do from the very beginning. If he had just humbly submitted himself to God, and with patience and with love and with care, had beseeched God and said, "How do you want me to carry this out?" This story would be completely different. But it's not different because Moses was human and he was weak, and he wanted things done his way, and he wanted to see things go his way, and he was impatient to see this done. And Moses evidently was a very impatient person. Several times he did things that God didn't approve of. You know, one thing right off the bat that he did was he smote the rock with a stick when God had asked him just to speak. Well, see, Moses had lost patience with the people. He was ill, and they were wanting stuff, and they were wanting this and that and the other, and he just got all bent out of shape over it. So God told him to speak to the people. Speak to the rock and water come forth. And he turned and he spoke to the people, and he turned around and hit the rock, leaving God out of it altogether. But sometimes you can have a feeling for what Moses was going through, because here again, we're human too. And sometimes we get a little out of sorts. We get a little impatient. Everything that Moses experienced, we've been there, right? I mean, we've all been in this situation where we know what God wants, but we want it now, and we want to do it this way, maybe not that way, because we think we're going to see better results if we do it our way. And we say, "Well, I'm doing God's will, but I'm doing it the way I want to do it." Well, that's not what God wants. But we don't ever stop and take time to say, "Okay, how do you want this done? How do you want me to do this? Are you going to be with me? Are you going to show me all the things that need to be done?" Well, of course he is. If you will just kind of slow down and let him take control. But we as humans, like Moses was, we try to will what God would have us do, we try to will it ourselves. And that just doesn't work with God and the plans that he has. Because it's obvious why that's because. It's because God knows everything. And we only know this little bit of spectral here. We only know this much. And God knows it all. But because we know this little bit, We want to do it our way. We want everything done to be our way. And we don't know any of this. But we don't stop and say, what is the big picture? We say, this is the way I want it done. And I want it done this way. And I want it done now. And inevitably, we're huge failures in God's sight many times because of our disobedience and our impatience. Now, here you have a man who, my goodness, he came back. He did come back. He got the children. But, I mean, he had to wait 40 years. He got the children of Israel out, and he marched them out in the desert. And you know what? They wandered around another 40 years. Now, it wasn't just Moses' fault that they wandered around another 40 years. It was a combination of people being impatient and people wanting things done. They complained and they moaned and they groaned and they left God out of it. And we do that today. We moan and we groan and we're exasperated and we're every kind of emotion you can think of. And we just walk off and forget that God is right there. And He's all we need to turn to. And you know, I'm telling you, if these people had humbled themselves, even, you know, God did all this work for them. He did all this stuff. He took them out. He protected them. He kept the Egyptians off of them. And He took them out into this wilderness. And, you know, it was kind of, it might have been a little zigzag line, but it was just kind of a straight shot into the promised land. But they wandered out there for 40 years. And why did they do that? Because they failed to do what God wanted them to do. They were impatient. They were moaning and groaning. And Moses, he added to it. He was kind of moaning and groaning. And so here Moses was 40 years old before he went to them. He had to flee because of his impatience and for his impertinence, you might say. And then there was another 40 years. And then these poor people wandered around for another 40 years. So what? So we're wandering around. We're 120 years out from the promise that God had made, when they could have been just a few months out, maybe, if Moses had just done everything that God wanted him to do. You see, this story, as Jonah's story, could be different had they done what God wanted them to do. You know, the story might have been complete. He might never have to make the big fish. But he did have to, because Jonah didn't do what God wanted. And the Israelites who were in bondage and who were, you know, just being slaves and being worked to death, they wouldn't have had to wait 120 years before they got to the promised land. And, you know, that was a big, you know, get to the promised land. That was something that God had promised Abraham. So for hundreds of years, that promise to Abraham was finally fulfilled when Moses led them. Get this. He didn't lead them into the promised land. He wasn't allowed to. Why? Because of his disobedience and his impatience and his... God said, you can't go in. I'll take you up. I'll show you. I'll let you look over into the promised land. But you're not going in. You know, I often wondered if Moses maybe said that and thought, man, if I had just done it differently. If I had just done what God wanted me to do in the manner that God wanted me to do for the whole time, wouldn't it have been much better? Wouldn't I have been able to go into the promised land? Listen, you can't tell me that Moses didn't want to go into the promised land. He's been out there wandering in that desert 40 years. You can't tell me that when he looked off and saw the pass between the mountains or whatever it is that led into the promised land, he didn't want to be leading that possession into the promised land. God told him, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because, why? Because of disobedience. Because of an impatient characteristic. So, we find that Moses' flight into Midian, where he met his wife and lived with his father-in-law for 40 years, was just the beginning of the turmoil that Moses faced. And You do read, though, a lot of places where Moses did exactly how God wanted him to do it, and everything went great for the people. And things would go greater for us today as God's people if we would all humble ourselves before God, seek His ways, and ask Him, what it is that you, what do you want me to do for you? But you know, I think, and I'm speaking for me, but I believe I can speak for everybody. Sometimes we're a little leery of asking God what He would have us to do. I think sometimes we're just a little standoffish about that. Oh, we might pray a good game, and we might talk a good game, but when it comes to bowing down on our knees and saying, pleading with God to give us something to do, I think all of us at one time or another have kind of fallen short on that. And then if He gives us something to do, I think we fall short many times by saying, we can't do that. I don't know why you've put this on me. I've heard people say that who were called a preacher. I heard a preacher here just recently, within the last year, I guess, say that he didn't know at the time why God put that on him when he couldn't do it. Well, I'm sure, I've not been called to preach, but I'm sure Brother Maggard can kind of commiserate with someone who's called a priest. It's the first thing they think is they can't do it. Well, God will never call if He doesn't do it. And I can't think of a harder time that a child of God can have than God calling him to preach. I mean, that just to me just seems just this horrible blow. But you look at, you hear what these preachers say, you hear what they say when they say, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, is to preach the Word of God, the blessings that come. Well, you know, we as lay people can get those same kind of blessings if we'll just humble ourselves and do what God wants us to do. Locate our patience. Go out and find our patience. And see how much blessings that can bestow. See how much blessings that can bestow. We'll just heed what God wants us to do and just do it. Do it in a manner and then wait on God. Wait on God. You know, you're not, that doesn't mean you're going to see results immediately. Obviously, Moses didn't receive results immediately. His whole lifespan was 120 years. And he still didn't get to go into the promised land. He did get sealed, but he didn't get to go into it. But we as God's people, if we'll just humbly submit ourselves to His will and do His commands, then I think that His blessings will be there. And even if we have to wait, listen, there's some things that we don't know. We may never find out. Him preaching, he may never find out. Somebody might have got saved under his preaching. He may never know it. That's okay. That is okay. You're not keeping a scorecard. Nor are we. We're not keeping any kind of scorecard. We're not checking this off. Look at what I've done for God today. And this is what I'm going to do. We're not doing that. We're each bowing before God, begging Him to give us something to do. And then let's do it. And then whatever happens, that's in God's hand. But if we've done what God wants us to do, let's move on and ask Him for something else. There's never a shortage of work in the vineyard of God. Never a shortage. And not get discouraged like Moses. I mean, of course, you know, Moses had a lot on him. He had a lot on him. But God knew he could handle him. Brother Maggard, as a preacher, he has a lot on him. God knew he could handle him. We as God's people, we may have a lot on us, but God knows we can handle him. We can do it. So we just got to get in touch with God. That's my lesson today. Anybody have anything to say?
Brother Bert, there's something that amazes me a lot about this, is that God used a murderer. And He used David a murderer. And He used Paul a murderer. And if we had a murderer come into church, we'd probably all want to carry our concealed weapons. And yeah, especially if they came in to try to take a big part in our church.
That's right.
And we're supposed to refrain from the appearance of all evil, and we've got murder leading all through the history.
Yeah, we do. But the thing about that is that these people were just humans. That's all they were. They had weaknesses, just like we do today.
I call murder a big weakness. Yeah. If you went out and got drunk, I'd say, okay, that's a little weak, but you went out and murdered somebody. I can't get past that.
It is, but there's murderers today. And that doesn't mean that God won't save their soul. And I've heard somebody just here recently, I don't tell them, say that they didn't believe God would listen to a murderer. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. I think God will listen to anybody.
Well, you have a written history. If you believe that, you have it.
That's exactly right. So to say that God won't save a murderer, that's taking credit away from God and putting limits upon His upon His ability.
To God, sin is sin. It doesn't matter. We may call murder, that's a big sin. But to God, sin is sin.
Right.
It doesn't matter. There are no big sins and no sins.
We're the ones that do that.
Right.
We're the ones that do that. You know, I've always said, to God, it's black and white. We're the ones that put in the gray area. But God doesn't have a gray area. We're the only ones that have a gray area. And however wide that gray area is just how wide we want it to be. But God is just strictly black and white. And you're right. Sin is sin. And that's why we sin every day.
And I was wondering, Moses had a lot of passion. He went out and he saw his people. He might have felt that there was something about the people. So he went down to see the people. And he was overcome with passion so much, it's like, don't hurt them. And he ended up murdering somebody. And then he was thinking, well, they'll... I'm on their side, but then they weren't. Well, now the prince is, or the king is on off this side too, so it's like, all right, I have nothing, I need to leave. But then, I don't get ahead, but the next verse said that the people, it was another time, and then they finally started to pray, and that brought Moses back. So maybe God was just waiting for the people to pray out. You know, it's like, and Moses knew there was something.
No.
Because he didn't have as much passion. These are new scriptures,
well,
be ready.
Right.
Being patient was his too. I mean, he was overly passionate, but maybe that was part of why he had run away. I mean, you really have to be passionate in order to leave.
Right. And I think that has a lot to do. God took that time to better prepare both the people and Moses. Now, the length of time it took to prepare. Really, to me, in my mind, and I may be completely wrong here, but in my mind, the length of time it takes to prepare a person to do the job that he wants to do is dependent on how receptive that person is to what God wants you to do. If you're real receptive to it, then it can happen immediately. But if you're always putting up barriers, if you're always building walls, and you're always doing this, then it might take a little longer for God to break those walls down and get you going in the direction that he wants you to go. He's got the direction he wants you to go. You just got to go with him. And he'll say, come this way. You got to want to go that way. Just head toward him. And you know what? I find if you head toward him, that he'll usually meet you more than halfway. Anyone else?
Also, the children of Israel.
Well, I think you're right. Yeah.
And Israel
quick, from talking about Collard Bridge, and I told them, here's how I'm going to go in detail, but when I was calling for a situation, and I said, well, what can I do in this situation, and people tell me Collard Bridge is going to do that, you know, I mean, it's like, no, and they. And about 6 weeks later, he beat me down, and I'm going to go that route.
Let's move on to Plan B.
But, and keep it covered or something, and now some recognition is up to them how they do, but, you know, if I could keep up with how many people have been saved under their ministry, how many people have got kind of, and I never thought that was something I could keep up with, because I'm a culture, I mean, I don't have any mind for this to be saved, I don't know, I mean, actually got plenty, right. And then, again, there's those you don't know about, in my family, so I leave that for us, for like, you know, they want to know how many people we had.
Exactly.
So I leave that hand forward.
Yeah. And he's the only one who truly knows the number anyway. Anyone else? Don, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.